The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. No, this isn't Dr. Tom. He's out getting smart this weekend. This is his wife, Sue Rozell, sitting in for him today. And we have a really good program today. My guest is Dr. Stephanie Pina, our acupuncturist from the Rozell Center for Healing, and she's going to give us a lot of good information today about a topic that's not real familiar to lots of folks. We're going to talk about the lymphatic system, and this is basically a system that is extraordinarily important to our overall health, and it's pretty timely with this coming into the cold and flu season especially, but also it's important for so many different aspects of our overall health. I want to give you the opportunity to call us today with your questions, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625, and we welcome any of your questions or your calls. But in the meantime, Stephanie, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. It's nice to be on this side again.
Yeah, you get to be the guest today.
I have to run it. No pressure.
You can just point me out and make sure I do it the right way. So, Stephanie, lymphatic system, it's something that is extremely important for our overall health. It's something that's involved in almost every disorder we have going on around here, and people don't know very much about it.
Well, there's probably a good reason why, and we were talking earlier, because it's not a lot of it's even talked about in medical school.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of times where we're looking at information, and we talk about this as part of the one of the five factors of health and healing.
Exactly.
But, and when we go through it, I feel like even that aspect, we go through it pretty quickly, even though we understand a little bit more than the public does, than medical doctors do, because a lot of times when you talk with patients who have lymph issues like lymphedema and the reasons why they have it, we'll go over. But they don't have any source to go to. They don't know how to be treated about it. So they're basically sent out, and that's all they can do. So when we talk about the lymphatic system, it's pretty clear that there's not a lot of information out there that is available, but that's changing thanks to a couple of new programs that are coming up. And also the fact that when you look at the body as a whole, you have to understand that not one system is going to run the entire body.
Right.
You have to include the digestive system, the cardiovascular system, the lymph system, the immune system. That's all has a play into the lymphatics.
Right. It's actually another circulation system in our body. And it is intimately linked with our digestion and intimately linked with our circulatory system. But it is basically another aspect of fluids that function in our body in very specific and very important ways. We talk about swelling when you have an injury. Well, that swelling is fluid that's accumulating outside of the vasculature. And the lymphatic system is one of those systems that, one, causes the swelling in the presence of an injury or an infection or an allergy to try to dilute it. In other words, one of my profs used to say, nature's solution to pollution is dilution. So here we go. We're trying to dilute the irritation of whatever is causing the problem. But it's also the system that takes that swelling away. So it's like a circulatory system. It jumps out of the capillaries, does its job, and jumps back into the capillaries. But it has a whole lot of other aspects as well.
Well, when we look at this too, when we were just talking about that swelling response, it's like everything. We talk about allergies, digestion. A little bit is a good thing because that's our normal response.
Right.
So the fluid going to those areas to help tissues heal is normal. Fluid coming out of our veins and arteries is normal. to pick it back up is the lymphatic's job, basically. It's
right.
supposed to pick that back up so there isn't this accumulation of swelling, which causes inflammation locally.
Right.
We don't see it as a normal thing anymore. When there's a dysfunction in there, and a lot of times people talk about lymphatic swelling based off of, because they've had cancer therapies, they've had lymph nodes removed, those lymph tumors, the lymphatic system can't work as well as it can. So that's why there's this kind of backwash of fluids that basically is like the toxic waste. It's the debris. We
right.
can't get the garbage trucks in there quick enough. And the different types of therapies that we do to help that and to help distinguish how else it can affect the body has to deal with involving other areas of the body. We need to get one lymphatic system that's not working, or one section of it, to basically use another section of it.
Right. Well, not to get into an anatomy lesson, but basically the lymphatic system is comprised of some different parts of our body. Well, obviously the lymphatic capillaries and things that run that the lymph pours back into, but certain organ systems that are involved with the lymph system, one being the thymus gland. It's a primary one, which is where some of the white cells are made for dealing with not only infections, but also allergies, but also the spleen, another major organ that produces the immune cells to help fight both infections and allergies. And then we've got the lymph nodes themselves. Some of them we recognize by the names adenoids, and tonsils, and appendix, and these are very important parts of the lymphatic system. It doesn't really have arteries and veins like we think of the blood system, but it has pathways that it travels through. There's also areas throughout the entire body, since the lining of all of the internal parts is comprised of a mucous membrane, there's a lymphatic system that's connected in that as well as in our intestines. And so it's kind of pervasive throughout. It's like a very intricate highway that allows for this kind of fluid to move around in the body and carry the white cells that need to fight the infections or the allergies, and also clean up the act after the fact. I always think of the lymphatic system like the Republic garbage truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's coming along, it goes around all the cells, picks up all the junk that's left at the doorstep, and hauls it back over to the liver to get deposited out through the body, through the intestines and into the bladder. But it's a lot more complicated than the Republic truck.
Right. And if you think about the fluid that we're talking about that's going through the lymphatic system, what is this fluid that they're picking up? And like I said, some of it's what's leaking out of the vessels, which is normal.
Right.
And then it's also composed of water. It's mm-hmm. composed of proteins. So it helps to keep our protein balance correct between the tissues and the vessels as well, too.
Right.
It helps to transport fat cells
mm-hmm.
As well, too. So some of the fat that we're digesting through the digestive tract are actually being transferred through the lymphatics as well, too, which
all of it.
All of it.
It goes straight there.
So, which is another way to block it up, too.
Right.
So basically you'd have different types of cellular debris, too, which includes some of these immune functions and lymphocytes and T cells and B cells, which are bringing everything to that communication point throughout the body, whether that's to the lingual, right in the pelvis area. There's a large number of lymph nodes there, to the axillary under the armpit. There's lymph nodes there. And most of the people think of those ones when it has to deal with breast cancer, since that's where it tends to metastasize to first. Just even thinking of the tonsils and stuff, when we have, there's a large group of chain of lymph nodes around the throat and stuff that we palpate, or the doctors palpate, to see if there's any swelling from, infections.
Sure.
And when that lymph fluid gets to these nodes, basically it's like a big filtration system, and it gives you a chance for all the infection fighters to get in there, do their thing, and then clear away the debris and then recirculate some of the same fluid back into the system as well, too.
Right. Which is one of the reasons why we always talk about, I should say, harp at people about drinking their water.
Right.
Because if you don't drink adequate amount of water and you are dehydrated, then not only is your blood thick, but so is the lymph fluid itself. And think of glue trying to circulate around tiny microscopic spaces between all of our cells. It's just not going to happen. So yeah. The more dehydrated we are, the more toxic we become. And we're not even talking about illnesses. But this is one of the reasons they say drink plenty of fluids when you have colds and flus. Well, why is that? So that the lymphatic system is watery and can do its job more efficiently.
Right. There's three times much more lymph fluid than there is blood in the body. So that tells you, and if we're mostly made out of water, that tells you how important that is in that particular system, because that fluid actually helps the cells move things along and get things to the lymph nodes.
Absolutely. So how do we get this fluid moving around? Now, we said it has vessels and it works with the circulatory system, but there's no heart for the lymph.
There isn't. And they're all one-way valves. It's an open system. So unlike the cardiovascular system where, you know, the blood comes out of the out of the arteries. Out of the arteries and comes back through the veins, and it's just one big loop.
Right.
The venous system brings everything up towards the heart and actually jumps it back into the subclavian vein up kind of over by the heart and over by the scapula. And what this is kind of doing is because it's no pumping system, it requires on a lot of different things. One, breathing helps because that becomes a pump in itself, that breathing
the
in,
diaphragm.
Breathing from in the diaphragm itself.
Going up and down. Mm-hmm.
Helps to pump lymphatic fluids. And if you think about it, one of the main ducts that go up to the heart is actually right behind the, or on the interior, I should say, of the cervical cord, the spinal cord. And essentially, so movement, getting up and moving, and there's a lot of treatments that are based off of movement and getting things to move in different ways. And then the other thing too is you can even do it just trying to get movement through the skin, things like massage, brushing,
sure,
all of those.
Dry
so
brushing.
We're creating basically this pressure, this pull system that moves things along. So we're pumping it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we do is creating a pump in itself so that that fluid can move up and through the body.
Sure. Case in point, what do they recommend whenever you're taking a long airplane flight? Don't sit in the plane seat the whole time. Get up, move around, go to the bathroom, get up and stretch. Or if you can't, if there's not availability, do the feet wiggles that they all give you. There's all kinds of seated activities that you can use. And they don't tell you to do it with your upper body. They tell you to do it with the lower body because
right.
That's the place where the stasis is. The upper body is getting pumped all the time because you're breathing, but your legs are just sitting there. And so, again, we have to depend on our body's motion to help move this fluid around.
And what you see, especially with the lower part of the body too, is that that's really where the accumulation and the swelling can really increase because you have gravity working against
sure.
you. You also have a lot of venous insufficiency. So even if the venous system's working great, you're still having that trapped fluid in the legs as well too. So a lot of times there's lymph issues along with cardiovascular issues that the two of them are going totally together.
Sure.
And then you can even have fat deposits that go there.
Sure.
Lipodema. Which is mm-hmm. another type of swelling. And there's differences in what happens with the tissues because if that swelling stays there, it creates more of an inflammatory effect. The body doesn't like that. So what does it do? It creates more swelling. And then it starts changing the tissues. And this is what makes things swell up. This is what makes the tissues harder. It becomes fibrotic. And then it becomes harder and harder to move lymphatics.
Exactly.
So as things progress, the worse it gets.
Exactly. Want to remind, we're going to have to take a break here for a second, but just want to remind everybody, this is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live today. I'm Sue Rozelle sitting in for him with my guest Stephanie Pena, and you're welcome to give us a call at 888-630-9625 if you have questions or would like to add a comment about our topic or whatever you have on your mind. Again, that number is 888-630-9625. 9625. Welcome back. This is Sue Rozelle sitting in for Dr. Tom Rozelle today. And my guest in studio today is Dr. Stephanie Pena, our acupuncturist at Rozelle Center for Healing. And she is going to be our presenter this Wednesday night at our office. At 7 o'clock, and we ask that you give us a call. There's no charge for the lectures. They're free, and we welcome all people who would love to come, but we need to make sure we have room for everybody to sit in our place. So if you could give us a call at 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. And just let our receptionist know that you'd like to come to listen to Dr. Stephanie talk about the lymphatic system this Wednesday night. We will put your reservation down and make sure you have a place to sit. Dr. Stephanie.
Yes.
I think you said you had some fun facts about
lymphatics.
Well,
we got some good facts because the lymphatic system sounds so boring, but it really isn't. I am excited. I'm so happy to be able to present lymphatics because it's just a topic. It's a learning experience going back and learning so much about it and how complicated it is, because as much as we know that, a lot of people don't. There's a lot of questions about it. And, you know, if you've been watching the news lately, Kathy Bates, the actress, she was in Misery. She was in American Horror Story. A number of years ago, she had breast cancer and I believe ovarian cancer and had lymph nodes taken out because of treatment and developed lymphedema in her arms.
Very severe.
Was adamant to tell people that no one told her that this was going to be a possible reaction to her treatment. So now she has daily treatments. She's been working with people a long time to get functional back into her arms because she can't lift more than 5 pounds.
Right.
She has to do a bunch of different things. So she made it her goal and helped create what they call a LEARN, which is the Lymphatic Education and Research Network. And it's been a wealth of information, but it's looking at it from a Western medicine standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been some great information on that, but the problem is we have to look at it as more of how that lymphatic system affects the rest of the body. And let's face it, the lymph system's been kind of like the sideline for a little while.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, up until 1970s, you know, when we talk about tonsils, that was the most popular surgery done under under general anesthesia, was to remove tonsils and adenoids.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people out there without tonsils and adenoids, and that's one of the main defense mechanisms in the mouth, which is basically the dirtiest place that we got. And it can't filter that.
And it was a law, I don't know if it still is, in several states that if you had to go in for any kind of abdominal surgery, they had to remove your appendix prophylactically to prevent appendicitis. Well, hello, that happens to be one of the hallmark gatekeepers for the intestinal lymphatic system.
Right.
So now I don't think they're doing that quite as often, but yeah.
Another fun fact is there's over 10 million people diagnosed with lymphedema, and there's a number of people that don't have this because even like the patients that we see in the practice that have swelling, they haven't had an official lymphedema diagnosis. It's very latent. It's subclinical.
Right.
They just see it, I'm a little swollen and puffy today. Well, that's your lymphatic system.
It's lymphatic system not working.
If you think about how many people that is more people than have been diagnosed with ALS, MS, and Parkinson's disease.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not a little issue. So a lot of people haven't been diagnosed with it.
Even bringing it to a very everyday thing. Mm-hmm. How many people get bloated after a meal?
Mm-hmm.
That abdominal bloating where they suddenly feel like they're 4 or 5 months pregnant. Yes, guys, that's what it feels like. that is fluid coming from the circulatory system. That is lymphatic fluid coming into the tissues around the abdominal area, the intestines and epithelial area of the abdominal cavity, relating to inflammation. This is why when you have food allergies, you often get bloated, is your body's trying to get rid of the antigen or the irritant and get rid of it.
Right. The swelling that you mentioned with traveling.
Yeah.
You know, you travel, the feet swell up, the weather changes a little bit. That's still lymphatic tissue that isn't functioning properly.
Exactly.
So it has so much more to do with just cancer treatment. It has so much more to do with there's congenital factors where the lymphatic systems don't basically come together. In fact, there's a syndrome called Turner syndrome, which is a genetic syndrome that has to deal much, much more with like the hormones and fertility issues in children. what's interesting is they tend to have, they're born with lymphedema in their arms and their legs. And that's the first sign that they see it. They see swollen arms and legs and go, we have to test them for genetic issues.
That's right.
So it occurs in a lot more things.
But it's not in the forefront as much. We're going to have to take another short break here in just a second, but we'll be right back. And when we do, we have a lady online, and I will pick up your phone call if you will wait for us to get back to you.
We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back. This is Sue Rozell sitting in for Dr. Tom today, and my guest in studio is Dr. Stephanie Pena, and we're talking about the lymphatic system. But we have a very patient lady on the line. Diane, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
How can we help you here?
Well, I had a friend who had a swelling under her jaw, and I was wondering if there was a lymph gland there. Or...
Oh, yeah. Big one.
Really? Okay.
There are several. Some of them are salivary glands that can swell, too, but you have your tonsils sitting at the back of your mouth, right at the arch as it goes down your throat. And that is one set of lymphatic tissue. The others are the adenoids up behind your nose in the back of the throat. And then you have another little set down further down deeper in the throat, somewhere around in the vocal fold area. So those are huge. But, yes, you have a cluster of nodes all the way down the neck itself on both sides.
So usually when they're swollen, that means there's an infection of some sort?
Possibly.
Okay.
There's some kind of congestion anyway. Dr. Stephanie, you got something to say on that?
Yeah, and it may be one-sided, it may be on both sides, but essentially what it is that the body's already aware something's going on.
Right.
And so what it is it's bringing all that lymphatic fluid, it's kind of circulating around trying to figure out what it is and bring it to that lymph node. And so a lot of times when you have, say, chronic infections, it could be viral, it could be bacteria, it can be parasitic as well, it will bring that all that fluid into lymph nodes, and they can get larger, they can get more hard.
Right.
And there's lymph node chains that are also behind that too, behind your neck muscles as well. So sometimes you'll actually see this pop up in a number of different areas, and those drain down by like where your throat is. And so those, if something gets backed up, the next one can, and the chain can be backed up as well too. So
those nodes, they concentrate the effects of the white cells. All right. That's where a lot of the war goes on.
I kind of thought that, but she's so worried because her brother was diagnosed with cancer in the one part of his throat, the side of his throat.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, it may not be that. I think because lymph nodes, you know, tend to collect, you know, waste all
they
over
do.
The body. And I think they're under there, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I always caution folks to think horses, not zebras, when it comes to a swollen knot somewhere. Don't ignore it. Go get it checked out. But more often, it will be an infection or an allergy or some kind of an irritation rather than something more serious. At least that's what we hope.
We hope, yeah.
And there's also
I have Sjogren's syndrome, so I know the parotid gland used to be like give me fits.
Yeah.
It just really got bad, and it's huge staph infections. But I've gotten into health and wellness over the years, and now I'm 80 and I'm feeling good, taking no meds and functioning very well.
Fantastic.
So I'd like to share all these tips, and I always listen to Tom Rozell if I can possibly get him and find out more tips. And I thank you for your information.
Well, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. And have your friend check out the node, but until further notice, think an infection, not anything more serious.
Yeah, that's my thought too. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling.
So
Dr.
you know that's
Stephanie.
A loyal listener, too, because we're on Saturday. We're on a different day, and they still find us.
They still find us. God bless these people. Okay, Stephanie, we've been talking about the lymphatic system being a circulatory process, like the blood and also the neurological, because you have that flow from the brain to the spinal cord, out the spinal nerves and out to all the nerves going to all parts of our body. It's another type of circulation that our body has to operate and function as it does. Tell us how acupuncture plays a role in getting the lymphatic system to work it's magic as far as getting infections under control, dealing with allergens, helping to keep the body clean, and doing its garbage pickup job.
Well, it works in a number of different ways, and that's how it can really give you more benefit than one specific way. When you think about acupuncture, no matter what you're doing, it's going to improve, first of all, blood flow and circulation to the area. And that they've seen, you know, for ages and in research, because if you're putting an acupuncture needle, say, near traumatized tissue, it's going to bring blood flow to it.
Right.
And so what's it doing when it does that? It's looking at the area. What else is in here? So if it's accumulation of fluid or there's swelling because something is healing, it's going to say, well, we need to get this out of here to help with the healing process. Get the good stuff in, get the bad stuff out.
Right.
So really, first of all, you're moving that fluid that's there. You're helping to pump it along because that blood flow as it comes there is creating that pump.
And the needle actually stimulates the body to do that.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. One of the things that we don't think about, too, is if there's a lot of swelling in an area, it can get painful because
sure.
our bodies are built to stretch and expand to a certain extension. But if, like, what happens, like I was saying before, if it becomes fibrotic and now it's hard, that skin isn't going to allow things to stretch anymore.
Right.
So it can actually work on pain mechanisms as well, too. So now you're moving blood. You're helping out with inflammation. You're able to help distal pain, localized pain. And then when you're doing that, the nervous system is very aware of what's going on because it's reading those pain senses.
Sure.
And so it's able to help also bring out additional chemicals and additional things that are going to help fight infection, boost the immune system. And then as you're getting that lymphatic flow back into the fluids back into the lymphatic system, those nodes are able to kind of identify what's going on, send out for those T cells and B cells and the white blood cells that are essentially there to fight it. And it says, you know, there's more going on than we have to. So we need to improve and increase how much white blood cells we have.
Right.
So you're indirectly affecting white blood cell and immunity as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this time of year, we have a lot of people coming in, getting swollen glands, especially with the changing in the temperature, and it's
oh,
hot
yeah.
inside and it's hot outside and you don't know what's going on. So I've seen multiple patients this past couple of days come in. Things don't seem right. They're draining because their body's trying to get out whatever it is, but they really can't. So acupuncture is one of the things that we can use to help benefit every single one of those systems so that we can get things out and get things moving. So that movement becomes really, really important.
Sure.
And sometimes we talk about the energetics of movement, that chi movement, but essentially what is it doing? It's creating that pump system so that everything can flow the way it's supposed to flow, the natural cycles.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like they say, sitting is the new smoking. Well, it's another instance where sitting is going to impact your immune system. It's going to impact your health and your overall vitality. Because if your body is sluggish and you've got a collection of stuff and you're fighting an infection that's not getting moved out of the system, it's just going to drain your energy. And all your energy is going to go to getting rid of the bugs or the inflammation and direct it away from the things that you want to do, like go out and have a good time.
Yeah. And when you have this accumulation of fluids, when it's not being treated, there's a number of different ways to treat it. But looking at, are you moving? How is your immune system? How are your adrenals? Are you eating properly? What's going on? Everything from headaches to brain fog to heaviness to mm-hmm. chronic fatigue, swollen lymph nodes that we can either see or feel, itchy skin or changes in the skin like a dry skin or acne. All of these things, even ear popping from what we would look at sometimes as an allergic response, which is just creating more fluid.
Sure.
All of these things are because lymph isn't moving as well as it could. And the body's giving you these signs that says, help me now or things are going to get worse.
Right, right. And we are really good at ignoring these signs, unfortunately. And that's what gets us into trouble. So when you are doing acupuncture, how does that relate to the actual detox mechanism that's going on?
Well, if you can improve all the organ systems of the body, and each one does this, there's certain points in meridians that basically help out with different organ systems. So there are stomach points that are down on the legs and localized over on the abdomen that help out with the detoxification in the digestive tract. So we know, as we've just said, that that can dump into the lymphatic tract.
Right.
So if you can pull in the good nutrients and help detox the body from what's coming through the food content, and this is perfect when we talk about things like leaky gut.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just goes into so many of
bloating
these other lectures.
Swelling.
Exactly. Bloating and swelling again. But when we do this, we can use the digestive tract to help move stuff to the lymphatic system. We can help improve blood flow by getting blood to down to the legs if there's poor circulation, and locally get things moving there as well too. And sometimes one of the first things that people notice is that they feel warmer if they have cold limbs, because that blood flow is now going back into the areas that they haven't been able to get good circulation to.
Right.
Circulation's not getting around. Lymphatics aren't getting around. You're not going to have proper movement, and then tendons and everything are going to get tight too.
They're going to get tight and make it hard to move.
Exactly.
We have a call online. Don?
Yes.
How can we help you? Thank you for calling.
Yes, I was just surfing around on Alexa, and I found you down in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And
wow.
I enjoyed the show, and you mentioned the lymphatic issues, and my mother had them big time.
Uh-huh.
And here recently, I've really banged up my right knee, not much exercise, put on some weight, and got some swelling, primarily in the left leg and foot, and it concerns me. And the inside of the left leg, I heard you mention earlier about hard. It feels really, feels like kind of like a rock. It's very hard, and mm-hmm. And I, again, because I banged my knee up, I can't get the exercise I needed before.
And the swelling is on the side that you hurt?
It's not. Now, I hurt the right leg. It's the left leg that I get the most of the swelling from the knee down.
Okay.
Well, sometimes that can happen, because one of the other ways when we think about how lymph nodes and lymph chains can be basically shut down or is injury. And so even though it's on the other side, remember that the circulation goes through the whole side. So if the body can't get blood flow down to that other, the injured side of the limb, it's going to try to push it over. It's almost like it's compensating. So that swelling may actually have to deal with the fact that it's, that area has been compensating. The opposite leg has been compensating for the injury. And what's interesting about the knee is there's a large group of lymphatic nodes right behind the knee. And if anyone's ever stood up and they feel like there's kind of like a fatty mass there, that's lymphatic swelling back there.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it gets conjunctive there, it's got no place else to go but down. So a lot of times you'll see people get swelling closer to the ankles. They might even get ankle fold. And then if it's been there for a while, that toughness, that hardness kind of comes. So there's a number of different things that you can do. So one, we want to decrease anything that's going to cause more inflammation. And when you start exercising back up, you want to start slowly so that your both legs can basically get a good workout. And the other thing is, when we treat this in the office, I do localized acupuncture around the area and above. And then we also do things like lymphatic massage, which helps to move that lymph flow up in there. So there may be someone in your area you want to talk to, a massage therapist who is trained in lymphatic massage, which we'll talk about, and is very different than like the sweetest massages where you go in and you feel great and everything. It's a very different procedure, but that will help get some of that lymphatic fluid and stuff moving again too. So it's not uncommon when there's any kind of injury for there to be issues like this, usually you're going to see it on the side of the body where there has been injury, but you can see it on the opposite side as well too.
And if you send us an email to our office, which is rosellecare.com, we'll see if there's somebody in your area that might be a good acupuncturist that you might want to visit and see if we can't get some things moving there. The other thought I had when you said it's in the leg that's now swollen is the opposite leg. It could be you've traumatized it in trying to compensate for the lack of ability for the injured leg to do its job. And sometimes that pushes it over the edge if you were already in a marginal state with both of your legs. But there may be somebody. What schools are in Fayetteville?
There's a couple schools in North Carolina, but North Carolina has a number of acupuncturists in there. So that shouldn't actually be very, very hard. So if you send us that email, and if we can search you by your zip code and see who's in the area, that can give you a hand.
And actually send it to...
Rosellecare.com. I'll send it to you. Sure will.
Send it to attention Dr. Stephanie Pina, P-I-N-A.
Okay.
And she'll get back with you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Good luck and hope you feel better.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Right. Take care.
We're going to have to get Alexa to constantly tune in to the Rosell Center for Healing. I like that.
Especially since we switch back and forth between Saturdays and Sundays until football season's over. I had just bummed up my knee last summer. and have been doing the lymphatic massage because of the fact that the swelling wasn't going down the way it should. And that same spot you talked about, the behind the knee, it was like having a roll behind my knee. Couldn't bend it because there was this infringement there. But the lymphatic massage and the acupuncture both were amazing at moving fluid around from a swollen injury, which was a very simple thing compared to what a lot of folks have for long-term standing stasis. But apparently it's not an uncommon thing for the legs to have the worst stasis in the lymphatic system. This is why people get swollen feet at the end of the day, swollen ankles. And, of course, you've got the kind that it's just swelling because of poor circulation. And you've got the serious ones, the pitting edema, which is because the circulatory system can't move the fluids around either. And it's not tough, just lymphatic.
It's tough to treat as well, too, because if you think about it, if you have lymphedema of the arm, and a lot of times with treatment, they use compression bandages, they use sleeves, which the sleeve helps the fluid from going back into the area, but the compression bandage is really what makes that pumping action because it works with the muscles.
With the motion.
So that makes a big difference. But when you think about putting compression socks on, which usually go all the way up the leg, I know we've had a couple of patients that I've had to put socks on and off, and they're hard for me to do it.
Yeah.
So people are going to have a hard time putting on those depending on how tight they are, too.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like really hard to get them on. We have to take another short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle live and Sue Rozelle in the studio today with Dr. Stephanie Pena.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back. This is Sue Rozelle sitting in for Dr. Thomas Rozelle, who's out getting smart this weekend. And my guest today is Dr. Stephanie Pena. And she's going to be our host presenter this Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock at the Rozelle Center in Fairfax. I'm talking too fast here. Our seating is limited, so I would like to have you folks give us a call, 703-698-7117, 703-698-7117, to register for her talk. I think it's going to be very, very interesting, and it's going to be on something completely different and things new stuff, news to learn.
Yeah, I don't think, as far as I remember, us ever having a lymphatic talk.
I don't either. And I think it's high time.
That's why I was like, I'm taking on the challenge.
So you do it.
And I think you can also register now by going to the website, rozellecare.com.
Probably.
And I think there's a link that you can register on there, and they still give you a call back to confirm. So I think that's on there as well, too. And of course, with the other lectures that are coming up through the end of the year, I think, there.
So, Dr. Stephanie, give us a little tease of what you're going to be talking about.
Well, we're talking lymphatic facts, figures. We're going to start with the basics and kind of understand what the heck the lymphatic tract is and the anatomy and physiology of it. And so that way we understand when people talk about this or the swollen glands, we get an idea of where these are, why they're important, why do symptoms show up in the areas that they do. Why is it that breast cancer patients have issues more with their arms? Mm-hmm. Why is it that men have more issues, especially if they have prostate cancer, they have more issues in the inguinal?
In the inguinal, yeah.
So we're going to go through where these are and signs and symptoms where not necessarily when people always are diagnosed with lymphedema and are going through normal medical treatments, but we're going to go through those as well. But the patients that we see this congestion, the swelling, the stagnation, that's where we can make the biggest change now.
Yeah.
Because there's not these huge symptoms and there's not that hardness and roughness. It may be just swelling in the legs that comes and goes, but that's when we want to change. So we're going to discuss how acupuncture deals with this, how manual lymphatic massage, and we are so lucky at the Rozelle Center for Healing to have one of the best lymphatic massage practitioners. Ivani is amazing, and so many people have seen, like, there's just amazing work that she does. I'm hoping she's actually going to stick around that night, too. I might be able to get a massage out of it.
The whole point is it's back to the same thing. Catch things early.
Exactly.
Get things when they first start out. It's much easier to fix. Don't wait until it's such a humongous problem that you have to go to great lengths to just get back on an even keel. It's much easier. And so many people would feel so much better if they had this lymphatic movement in their bodies. It detoxes them. It gives them, this is why you feel good after you eat well and you exercise well. This is what it's all about.
And we're going to put that together also with the fact that if someone's going through traditional Western medicine treatments, how does it go with that?
Right.
How do you benefit the most from all the different types of treatments you can possibly get? Because it's worth it to have options. It's worth it to see what works for you individually than saying you should be in step one of this phase and you're just going to automatically get better.
Exactly.
Because some of the other options other than compression therapy are drugs and medications like diuretics to move stuff out of your body and move liquids out, but that's playing a huge toll on the rest of the body as well, too.
Right. And there's no reason why you can't combine the two.
Absolutely.
We get so much better results when we do both together and individualize the treatment program for people. So I hope that you'll be able to make it to our lecture on Wednesday evening. I think the weather's going to be nice. It's going to be cold, but that's okay. We're inside. It's nice and warm. And I hope to see a lot of you. It's been an interesting program, Dr. Stephanie. Thank you. This is Sue Rozelle sitting for Dr. Tom. He'll be back next week. See you later.